Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's. Here Christ is in all things as we receive and give the love and hope of Christ. A word about our message this All Saints Day. As I was spending some time in these texts, the first reading from Revelation 7 is John seeing the resurrection of the dead. Right? He is seeing the hosts who have come out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And he sees them, every nation, tribe, and people, and tongue. He sees them in their distinctiveness. I want to talk about how we are uniquely loved.
The first reading for our observance of All Saints' Day is written in Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise for the Alleluia and the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, hold on to this one. God doesn't love us all the same. The host arrayed in white, gathered in the resurrection, in John's vision, is not a utopia of equality. The works of the saints do follow them. There are positions of honor in our Lord's sight, on his right and on his left hand. And those places are now filled. Now, wouldn't it be a wonderful, interesting item of irony if that actually turned out to be James and John? What John sees here in Revelation chapter 7 is the resurrected life. What stuck out at me is this. The saints in the resurrection who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb retain their nation and tribe and people and tongue. John sees them clearly. They retain in some fashion their positions in their good works from earth follow them. The heavens, full of the angels and archangels with the multitude and the elders and the patriarchs and the martyrs and the prophets and the four living creatures, they are all distinguished from one another in John's view of the resurrected life. Which means the self is not lost in the resurrection. Rather, in the resurrection, the self becomes more fully self as it was meant to be. Then you will be free to be yourself without sin. Your gifts, your talents, your personality, your intellect, body and soul reunited will finally be free of all envy and pride and malice and greed. You will be the person that God has always loved, the one redeemed and forgiven by Christ the crucified and risen, still with your nation and tribe and people and tongue intact, marks of your unique character. You will not be a faceless saint. It's not like the resurrection is full of a bunch of kind of spirits out there, but distinct individuals whom God himself has crafted. You will honor him and shine according to the grace given to you, as only you can honor and reflect God's glory. And in this, you will be united with your brothers and sisters, washed in the same blood of the Lamb, as pure as the holy angels, perfected in the grace of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, who has brought you finally to himself in perfect love. You will be holy, perfect, in your body, nation, tribe, people, and tongue intact. You will be distinct from every other one of God's creatures, but not separate. For you will share perfectly in that which is love with all of the righteous men and women of the resurrection and enjoy the benefits and the glory of each unique culture and talent that God has given. So it bears repeating. Our Lord does not love us all the same. Just like you. You don't love all of your children or your friends the same. You love them each uniquely. individually as God has made and given them to you. You love different things about each one of them. You love each of them in distinct and personal ways. You love with precision. And this is, if it's true of you, then it is all the more true of the God whose exacting precision takes the time to love you and count the hairs on your head. The love of God is not an abstraction. It is not some generic feeling, like people who say they really love dolphins. God loves in action. Like a reckless seed sower, casting out his love, he pours it out. He even at times seems wasteful, giving more than a cup can hold, feeding more than a crowd can eat, with more than one basket left over. 12 to be exact. He's not fair. He is generous. And he's creative. He loves what he has created in its diversity. Dappled, irregular things hold beauty for him. Just like symmetry and straight lines please him. His love is precise. His love is given to us because of who he is. And he loves us even when we think ourselves unlovable. His love is deliberate and purposeful. He loves us in spite of our petty jealousies and fears, our prejudices and ignorance. His love is freely given to those he has made, all of them. Yes, all of them. So he loves the neo-Nazi and the Communist Party boss. He loves the drug dealer and the rapist. He loves the tellers of white lies and the gossipers who betray their own friends. He loves the reluctant mothers and the tired husbands who don't take up their vocational duty or responsibility, and he loves them with precision, on purpose, because they are his creatures, his creation, and he does so without excusing their sin. The way he uniquely loved each one of us is the same. In just this way, God loved by sending his only begotten Son, his unique one, into this flesh to bear our sin. That Son, Jesus Christ, did not shrink from being God's answer to the problem of our evil, even from those who would reject his love. He loves those whom he has made, and that includes you. He loves you. You are his beloved, the one for whom he suffered, the one he chose in holy baptism to be his own, putting his name on you. By his bleeding, dying, and rising, he has made himself a holy sacrifice on your behalf, that you would be clean. His death put death and sin to death. He has torn down sin's prisons and opened heaven to all who believe in his name. By this perfect love, he has reconciled us to himself and declared us righteous and bestowed on us his own perfect peace, forging his forgiving love in this by making you worthy of it, beautiful in his eyes when you could not. because you are not your sins. Forgiveness removes both guilt and eternal punishment right now. You are forgiven. You are saints, innocent of all crimes before your Creator because of Christ. This forgiveness doesn't end personality. When the good work begun in you is complete in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will also be freed from all temptation. You, yourself, will be free from selfishness and self-destruction. This grace is God's own goodness given to men, and from it springs virtue, all of which you will know and enjoy and practice into eternal life. The forgiveness of sins that sanctifies you now, that forgiveness is what makes you holy in Christ, saints of God, even now. The Holy Spirit, you see, is moving in His saints, in you. God Himself is fighting for and in you, and that makes you holy saints already. The old man is being overcome. The devil has already lost. Christ has already won the battle. Now, dear saints, seek what is good. That is why you are here. Even while you struggle against the flesh and sin, seek what is good in repentance and receive again Christ's free forgiveness. That struggle will not last forever. It is finished. It will be overcome. That victory is assured. The old man, the fallen flesh, that part of you that keeps on doing the evil that you do not want to do, even when you know that it's evil, that part of you that blinds you to what is truly good, he will be killed. But only that sinful flesh will be killed. He will be shed like a set of dirty clothes, a skin that no longer fits, while the rest of you, the redeemed you, body and soul will live forever in Jesus Christ. Body and soul, your intellect, personality, humor, gifts, talents, experiences, interests, they'll all remain in the resurrection, which means we'll still have a sense of humor, praise the Lord. I'll even dare to say it, if you really love model trains or stamps or singing or golf, you still will. For you will still be you on that day and every day that follows. But you will be more fully you than you've ever been before. You will remain unique and special to God. Nation, tribe, people, and tongue. But finally, at last, without sin. Rejoice in this, that your name is written in the book of life. Rejoice in this. That same thing is true, not just for you, but for those you love who have died in Jesus Christ and gone before you. They will still be your loved ones. Love for the same reasons you love them now, only without envy or malice or greed or hurt. You will be free to love them without fault or selfishness, and they will, by the blood of Jesus, be worthy of it. And they will love you just the same. And it will be good. Each uniquely loved by the Lamb of God who sits on the throne. And together with all the saints, with the angels and archangels, with the whole company of heaven, we will cry out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace that passes understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.